I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. So, you know, I've been arguing off and on for a few days about whether or not America's a blue state, a red state, or whether there are blue states and red states, state versus you, all that stuff. But you know what? Every state is a monster state. I mean, just as each state has its own governor, its own mayor, its own flag, a lot of states have some unusual creature that they claim exists there. I mean, Bigfoot, so, well, you know, you look at Bigfoot, he's well known here in the Pacific Northwest. But man, you go all over the country and you look at every state has their monster. They have either Wolfman, or they've seen a Thunderbird, or they've seen a Mothman, or, you know, just bizarre creatures living among us in every state. You can call it the United States of Monsters. You know, there are a lot of creatures that have been sighted so often they become virtual celebrities in a state. There's the Jersey Devil. And there's a creature that, man, it was so real, the police with bloodhounds reportedly once tried to corner it. The Dover Demon, the Massachusetts monster that climbs walls like an insect and has an egg-shaped head. And the Mothman, of course, my favorite, scary cryptid. It's a huge winged creature with red eyes that supposedly chased terrified drivers in West Virginia. I mean, monsters in every state. Monsters in every state. They're so hot right now. I mean, they've even, you know what, got their own cable news channel. There's the Mountain Monsters. There's Monsters and Mysteries in America. I mean, audience tune into these shows, monster investigator shows. They hold national conventions, Sasquatch festivals, and eyewitnesses meet online to swap shaky, blurry videos of monster sightings and swamp monsters and all that stuff. I mean, they're so popular that they've become, actually, they're also becoming sex symbols. There's monster erotica. People now are publishing stories about people being kidnapped by Bigfoot. There's like Moan of the Bigfoot, werewolf. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I mean, I was finding this out. I mean, it all sounds bizarre, right? It all sounds new. But people have been swapping stories about monsters for a long time. That's why shows like mine exist, because, you know, ever since you go back to, prehistoric times, and men drew pictures of monsters on cave walls. Greek mythology gave us the Medusa. I mean, if you looked at her, you turned to stone. And the Bible talks about Leviathan, the Nephilim. I mean, just all these beasts. And you read the ones with the seven heads and the ten horns in the Book of Revelation. And you've got the Makara in Hinduism, and Kraken. You have, you know, the Kraken as another monster. Cthulhu. But see, that's the thing, is that what is it with monsters? What is it? I mean, so many people see them. I mean, no matter where you go, I mean, you could go to some uncharted region of the globe and somebody has a monster that they talk about. Every global village has a monster. And there are monster hunters. They go after these creatures. They still believe that they're out there. Some believe that they're magical or supernatural. But see, that's the thing. We got so much terror going on in our own lives. Some people want to think that maybe there's a monster out there they can hunt down. And some say, well, those who are monster hunters are flaky. They're crazy. Well, there's a historic precedent for the passion in these monsters, these creatures that have developed a mythology unto themselves. I mean, they've been discovered many times. They've been tracked many times. A lot of animals thought to be extinct or actually show up. Like, for example, the coelacanth. It was this armor-plated fish. I remember I first heard about a coelacanth in a movie, an old B-movie called Monster on Campus. And it was about this coelacanth, this mosquito sucks blood out of the coelacanth, and then it basically spreads it to this guy. He turns into this, I guess you call it this pre-mortal or pre-historic man. But, you know, coelacanth was, you know, thought to be extinct. And they thought it went away 66 million years ago, but then it was discovered in 1938 in South Africa, floating around out in the water. European explorers have been, you know, looking for man beasts, similar to what we hear about, you know, with Bigfoot and Sasquatch. They were covered in hair. They had immense strength. But whether or not you believe that Bigfoot's a mountain gorilla, that's another story. I tend to think that he's a mountain gorilla. Many monster hunters don't even like calling Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever. They don't like calling him a mountain gorilla because they want to think of him as a cryptid. The cryptid investigators go in, they study these animals that are thought to be extinct or mythological. But, you know, when you talk about monsters, when you talk about how every state has a monster, there are people from all demographics and walks of life that see these monsters. Police officers, businessmen, housewives, doctors. And a lot of them remain silent because they're traumatized by the experience. They don't want to be ridiculed. I mean, when you say to somebody, have you ever encountered a monster? You know that they've seen something because the color in their face completely drops. Their face turns completely white when they try to tell the story. They relive the story. They cry. Their hands are shaking. You can tell that they're reliving something that's very real to them, very terrifying to them. And that's where we end up tonight. I mean, we're all told, we've all been told, that there are no monsters. There are no real monsters. However, a monster is also a matter of how you think, what you observe. A predator can be just about anything. From a mountain lion to a wolf, their hunger is overwhelming and their need to feed for survival is also something to consider. Just as no one really needs to explain that characters who turn into wolves during a full moon are werewolves, no one needs to explain who a hairy man ape walking out of the woods is, what it would be. But that, of course, is the Sasquatch or the Bigfoot. And we all know how most Bigfoot stories begin. First, there's the glimpse. Glimpse out of the corner of the eye, or direct glimpse. Something tall standing there. I saw something tall, something hairy, something that left footprints too big to be human in the dirt. Some detect a foul odor. They smelled something. It smelled like trash or body odor. Others claim that the crickets they heard at night just go silent. And the silence is overwhelming. And then that's when they start hearing the breaking of branches. Some can hear the breathing, the snarl, the growl. But what you don't hear in these stories, usually, is about the attacks, the massacres, the people whose lives are changed as they meet up with what can only be called an apex predator of the woods and swamps, upright, hairy, again, like a man. See, in my childhood and in my young adulthood, I was always taught that the Sasquatch was this timid creature, and Hollywood wanted us to believe the same thing as Bigfoot showed his softer side in Harry and the Hendersons. Remember that movie? Harry and the Hendersons, yeah. I mean, over the past few decades, pop culture has tried to defang Bigfoot. I mean, we've been seeing a series of commercials where Bigfoot is selling beef jerky, and then, of course, Flo, Progressive Insurance, Flo, she's there sitting with Bigfoot, making him all cuddly and basically calling him Daryl. In fact, I've had Bigfoot researchers say, so are we off to hunt Daryl? They're calling him Daryl now. It kind of sticks. Well, keep in mind, though, that Bigfoot allegedly weighs hundreds of pounds and stands anywhere from 7 to 10 feet tall. He has sharp teeth and is literally an aggressive predator. However, there are still many Bigfoot believers that claim that he's a gentle giant. He's easily spooked by humans. Some say he's like a supernatural being, a pet of the aliens, or the last surviving Nephilim. For some, though, he has become nothing but a big, soft Muppet. Kind of like, what was his name in Sesame Street, Big Bird's friend? Snuffleupagus. It's kind of like Snuffleupagus hiding out in the wilderness saying, hey, look, it's Snuffleupagus. It always looks, there's no Snuffleupagus. Well, I saw Snuffleupagus. He was there, Snuffleupagus. Yeah, he's kind of like Snuffleupagus for some people. But see, look, here's the thing. Let's have a little dose of reality here. Reality now is a horror unto itself. And invisible enemies, like diseases, are enough to mount a terror campaign all on their own. The Sasquatch, it too becomes another semi-invisible enemy. It's becoming aggressive now. They hide, or actually they're the hide-and-seek champions of the deep woods, but they're no longer hiding. And stories of how the Sasquatch terrifies or even kills unassuming campers is now big business. There's a lot of authors and film producers that are no longer silent about what creeps in the darkness. So what's interesting is now you're seeing, and you will be seeing in the future, the darker side of Bigfoot. The stories are terrifying, and more are coming. There's going to be a new movie coming out called Monstrous about a predatory Bigfoot. And of course, Devolution is a new book by Max Brooks, the guy who brought you World War Z, is now turning us on to something called the Mount Rainier Massacre. Bigfoot's killing people near Mount Rainier. It's a very terrifying book. And more to come, I'm sure, because we're told that monsters don't exist, but now they're getting some sort of a revival. And like I said, every state has its monster. Every state has a legend behind that monster. No matter where you go, no matter who you talk to, there are a number of people that have had an experience with a monster. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. And we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.